Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them they have always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as part of their work. My co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now is Kevin Finn. Kevin wears many hats at Business Radio X. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tim.
Now, last week we highlighted what we were going to do for Halloween. And did you get in costume and go out and have fun?
A little bit. I skimped on the costume to save money because it's a tough economy, but I had a blast.
Well, that's good.
Went to a couple different parties, hung out with my girlfriend. Can't beat it.
That sounds good. You know, in the 13 years we've lived in the house that we've been in, nobody has ever come to our door trick-or-treating. So 3 years ago, we decided to do reverse. And so my wife and I take candy to the kids who live in the neighborhood, go knock on the door and hand it to them. Blows them away. They get candy.
You're going to spoil them.
There you go. Well, you know, some folks seem to know what they want to do and be in life from the get-go, and others have an idea, try something, work variations on a theme, and then head in another direction. What causes one individual to stay in a family business and take it to another level, while another individual takes on an entirely new career or a profession in the family? Ultimately, to be successful and content, we need to find our niche, our place in the business world. Well, Rob Team and Jaron Wilkerson share their particular journeys. Rob Team has continued a family tradition of being in the printing business. Mr. Team owns and operates Paramount Graphics. Jaron Wilkerson is a registered pharmacist, began his career as a pharmacist, and even continues to work as a pharmacist one day a month. However, Mr. Wilkerson leads Level 10 Healthcare Group, a high-performance management consulting firm. And each of our guests strive to provide services that help the individual grow, reach new levels in their professional lives. Well, let's begin with the family business. Welcome, Rob. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
So tell us about Paramount Graphics, or perhaps I should ask, how did the Team family get into printing, and why did you stay?
Well, actually, we started, my dad was in the printing business, my grandfather was in the printing business, and I, of course, grew up in it, and I've always been associated with it my entire life. We had a family business for about 35 years that I took over and sold in the late 90s, and always had my hand inside the printing business, although we do a lot of other different things with other different types of businesses. I've always felt it necessary to stay in the printing business because it truly drives our economy. One might say that home building does that, but it's honestly the printing industry really drives, is kind of the barometer of economic growth. But I joined a team of people at Paramount Graphics a little over a year ago to help them grow a new segment of their business, and that's why we're here today to talk about.
Okay. So what does Paramount do? How does it differentiate it from all the competition out there?
Well, the printing business has changed drastically in the past 20 years, and even in the past 5 years. A number of years ago, I would say not quite a decade ago, manufacturers of copiers started looking at better and cheaper ways, more cost-efficient and effective ways to print books and to print color brochures and things of that nature, and to get away from putting traditional ink on paper, making it easier, more efficient, faster, and still trying to keep the same level of quality there. So Paramount Graphics, actually, at the core competency is what's called a wide format or large format digital printer, which does very large banners, posters, in-store point of sale, trade show booths, and all the decorative banners and things that go along with that. Then it started having a lot more call for what now is what's called a short run digital book printer.
Okay.
And what that has done is, you know, as a writer yourself and a publisher, those manufacturers of that equipment kind of, I wouldn't say gutted the publishing world, but certainly brought a new ways and means of self-publishers and publishing companies to print lower quantities of books and not having to spend tens of thousands of dollars to keep or to print books in large quantities because of the old technology, which is, you know, traditional sheet fed presses, cold mm-hmm. set and heat set webs that are, you know, is what was used, you know, just a few years ago, still used today for the John Grishams of the world mm-hmm. that would print 10,000 books at a time.
Yeah. Or a million.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a case maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
And a Jack Canfield. Mm-hmm. But what companies like us, and there's not a lot of us in the United States that are of our unique size, give authors, self-publishers, the ability to print as few as 100 books.
Uh-huh.
Some of the manufacturers out there say, oh, well, you can print one. Well, they'll do that for a pretty substantial amount of money. Then they get a good response, and then they decide they want to print more.
Mm-hmm.
So we serve the hobbyists, the people that are just doing a genealogy book or a family reunion book about where everybody's been for the past 5 years, people that have a passion for fishing, as an example, or the mm-hmm. outdoors, or motivational speaking, or we do a lot of business in the faith-based community, pastors okay. that print, you know, have mission-minded
ministries that they want to touch.
Exactly. And so we serve those kinds of people that don't, not that, that's maybe just now starting out, or they're established,
mm-hmm.
and instead of having to print, you know, 5,000 books or even 1,000, we say, oh, print only what you can sell today. So we'll do 100 at a time to 500 or 600, and we'll do anywhere from 200 to 300 titles a month
mm-hmm.
For people that just need that many books for a book signing or an event or a conference.
And then when they need more, they call you up and yeah. say, press the hit button.
Exactly,
right?
And we can turn those in typically less than a week.
Okay.
And the quality is still the same, if not better, but mm-hmm. they're able to get something that you know, they can compare to anything at Barnes & Noble.
Now, when people come to you, though, their book has to be ready to go, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, a lot of folks with, you know, it's kind of the bittersweet, double-edged mm-hmm. sword scenario where this equipment allows, and our technology allows you or anyone to print a book or to write a book and then print it, but there's so many people that come to us, which is why we try to take a educational approach with new authors and writers to help them understand, you know, number one, if you want to design a cover, make mm-hmm. sure you're using a professional designer that does covers and doesn't just do, you know, brochures and business cards and logos, because there's a lot of things that are necessary, like the thickness of the spine, extra margins for mm-hmm. bleed, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to pause you right there, because that is something that I just want you to say again, because I, you know, I have so many of my clients say, well, I have my sister, my brother, my this friend or that friend, and they've done graphic design work. They got to know how to do books.
Well, I say take it back to expectations. Mm-hmm. All right, set the expectation with the customer, which is the writer, your customer, mm-hmm. my customer, and say, okay, let's be reasonable about this. I know you're passionate about it. I know you want to get out there and sell it, and because if you sell it, I'm going to get to print more. So let me help you. It's not a profit center for me, but let me help you, guide you in the right direction, so that when you're ready for me to print it and do what I do best,
mm-hmm.
there's no. The expectation is there.
It's going to be a good product.
It's going to be a good product, and it's going to be not rushed. You know, so many mm-hmm. times, I've got two books in process right now for some pastors in Texas, as an example, and they've got a conference this weekend.
Mm.
I got their covers last Friday,
ooh,
and we're still volleying back and forth uh-huh. with that cover and their designers, and finally, this morning at 6 o'clock a.m., I called their designer and said, look, we're just going to have to take it from you, because there's no way that I'm going to be able to continue to try to explain to you and our pre-press department, explain to you how to get these covers done. It's just it's a train wreck, and it happens time and time again, especially with new authors and even publishers.
Oh, sure.
That don't stay with a cover designer. Through and through, they're, you know, adding new titles to their stable. They'll go, well, this person's cheaper than this person, or this is someone I've always used, but she'll get around to it when she gets around to it. But again, it's all about setting expectations. If you set the expectations, say, mm-hmm. here's your timeline, here's a schedule, here's what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, and that's why I so applaud you, because you help keep those guys in line,
yeah.
and rightly so, because you know, it's just there's so much passion to yeah. what's happened now with the publishing industry. Like I said, anybody can write
a book.
Anybody can print a book. Anybody can make money on a book, but you have to have a plan and you have to do it correctly. You cannot just jump out there and mm-hmm. just do it. And then
well, the other thing we got to keep in mind is that of 80% of the books that are written every year sell less than 300 copies. So, yeah, we who write books look to make money. The likelihood of making money is slim to none. But they become a good instrument to help us get our name
sure.
out there. And I say that not, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you print them or someone mm-hmm. else, but so many people that I deal with come to me and say, hey, I've got this book and I'm going to make a lot of money on it. And I give them the reality, give them the reality check. I have a story, or not a story, but I want you to explain something. I took a tour of Paramount Graphics, and in the middle of it is an industrial sewing machine. That does not compute with a printer. Talk to the people about what goes on with that sewing machine.
Well, as I said, the initial or the original core competency for Paramount Graphics was to be a large format digital printer doing UV inks and inkjet mm-hmm. Machines, which are high resolution banners for restaurants and stores and Walmart and et cetera, those. The sewing machine that you saw are for banners that are actually for one of our customers that prints hundreds of them a month, and the bottom of them have to roll up and be stitched
to it, yeah.
So that when they're installed on the two arms at mm-hmm. at a register or a table, that's how they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, something that makes us a little different than everybody else is what kind of made me gravitate to using more of the Paramount's core competencies is, in addition to making sure that an author has, you know, the expectation levels are set, everybody knows what they've got to do, that we give them some other things that they can't get from a traditional short-run book printer, like banners and banner stands to promote their conference or to promote their book signing.
Wow.
We do all that in-house, and a lot of our customers are typical distributors. They mm-hmm. resell what we print. So there's a value there because they're not having to pay street price.
That's great.
I'm just curious how the digital age has affected your printing business. Because I know a lot of people go on digital, especially with books. They don't want to risk printing a book because it is so risky that they just put out a digital copy and see how it does. Has technology and digital really affected your business a lot?
Well, that's kind of there's two answers to that. The digital world has changed the printing industry from its core, from its infancy, at the granular level. That's all started about 30 years ago. But if you're speaking in reference to ebooks, absolutely, ebooks and the Kindles and all the Nooks and all the electronic devices and handheld devices that allow people to store thousands of books and read. Yes, that has affected the printing industry. But it's actually, there will always be ink on paper. There will always be what's now toner on paper. People want to have tangible books. It's an interesting point. In China, as an example, there are less than 60,000 to 70,000 public libraries in the whole country of China. The Chinese people, you're graded in society by how many books, actual really printed books that you have in your at your home, in your library. So now it's the bookstores. The bookstores are the public libraries, and people stand in lines for hours and hours and hours to get into those bookstores just to read and see what they're, that's the latest, the mm-hmm. latest book. And they love Western culture. That is the most popular culture of books written is books written in the in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you get your writing clients? How do they find you?
By a number of ways. I mean, there in two lies, you know, it's the a rub.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting and launching a pretty aggressive marketing campaign to reach out to what's our perfect customer.
Mm-hmm.
Our perfect customer is someone that will listen, number one, you know, that's coachable. Like
mm-hmm.
that's always, you know, if a customer will say, number one, you don't know everything that we know about our business.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But our perfect customer is a self-publisher or a publishing company that has anywhere from one title to 100 titles that we can service on an ongoing basis and help them deliver to wherever they need to deliver their books to, whether it's Barnes & Noble or some sales and distribution company, and there's a number of them here. There's one of the largest in the country located here in Atlanta. But we do. We use a lot of the web, social media, of course, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I'm actually doing a number of videos right now, educational videos right now, about proper cover design setup, as an example, the proper way to set up your whole book, how to use InDesign, if that's going to be the product that you use to do your cover with. So just to be a more educational, what I call educational vendor or company to serve our customer, which is, you know, try to help them. The more educated we can make them, the more knowledgeable we can make them about how what we do and what you do and what others that support us do, will help us be more successful by getting us more customers.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you have pastors from Texas, and we're sitting in Atlanta, Georgia. How did you find them?
Just the years that I've been in the business, I've got hundreds of customers. And one of the things that you know, that I enjoy about the faith-based community, not only because I'm a Christian, but because their model, and like yourself, as an example, when they write a lot of books. They I attend Browns Bridge Church, which, of course, is, you know, the North Campus for North Point Church and Andy Stanley. But a lot of pastors all over the country, including here in Atlanta, will write a number of motivational books or theme-based books or things of that nature, and they'll sell them at their conferences or at their church. And I have a lot of pastors that are just now coming out of the two pastors in Houston, Texas, that are both ministers at a very large church out there that have a 26,000 person congregation. And but you know, there again, you're trying to hold the racehorse back and not let them, you know, keep them loping in that lane that they need to be loping in, and then turn them loose when they're ready to go.
Because you want quality.
Absolutely. And we don't want them to throw something out there or tell their congregation, hey, our books are going to be here for Sunday, and you know, you can buy them out front, and everybody's there, and there's no books because he didn't listen. So, but pastors in the faith-based community is a good, you know, sect for us, because and motivational speakers and people that do conferences for empowering people. We do a lot for business women, as an example, that travel the country and helping teach women how to excel in business. And they'll print a few hundred books for however many they can sell at that conference. And so we'll print those books and ship them to them to the location where they're having their conference. And that's the way we hope to grow our business, by, you know, seeding our field, so to speak, and fertilizing as best we can.
Yeah,
I hear customer service.
Absolutely.
So that is awesome. Here, I would grant that you get a lot of business just word of mouth because of such great service.
Yeah, and I don't disparage anybody in our industry. I've never done that. I don't say bad things. It's not a good thing to play one side of the aisle or the other, and this guy's bad and I'm better because. There's a lot of reasons why people shouldn't shop at certain places, and I think the biggest part of that is customer service. Having grown up in the business myself in a family owned business, losing a customer is more expensive than trying to get a new one.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you can keep that customer, and serve that customer with the absolute, you know. Great, as best you possibly can,
absolutely,
with an estimable service and quality, then price doesn't always end up being the answer. We all have to be competitive, but at the same time, we all have to make a profit, ergo to grow our business. But it all comes down to not treating that customer as a number.
I love to hear that.
And so many of our competitors do that you're just a number.
That's what's wrong with a lot of companies right now, is the customer service, and I absolutely hate it. When I get bounced a phone call to India to solve my problems, it just absolutely infuriates me.
One of the things that is frustrating to me and a number of other businesses that I am a part of is when you go out and look for a website and the phone number's not there.
Oh.
Or you go to the Contact Us page and you have to enter in all of your data, and then you get an autoresponder saying someone will be in touch with you in the next millennia. If someone goes to our website and dials the phone number, it's going to ring my phone number, my personal cell phone first, and if I don't answer it, it'll roll to one of the other owners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, till they get a live body on the phone.
And you just shared with us some of your frustrations in your work. What's the joy you find in your work?
Honestly, it's getting a phone call and it almost tears me up to say this, but getting a phone call from someone I've never met to say, so-and-so told me to call you because you did exactly what you said you would do.
Oh, okay.
And I would say, well, thank you for that compliment, and I will give you the same courtesy.
Great.
And so when I tell you something, expect it. But what I tell you, you may not want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, Tim, no, I can't do this book for $2.19. It's going to cost you $2.26, mm-hmm, or $4.26. No matter what you've ever heard, that's the big. You know, people come at you with an expectation of, oh, it's got to be so cheap. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's but that's what makes us feel the best is when we get phone calls from customers, saying that, you know, I heard about you from so-and-so, you help them out. Would you please help me?
Sure.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
great. Well, what advice would you give to our listeners about being an entrepreneur or a writer or anything? This is your chance to give advice.
Wow. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get
that much.
Okay. I better start now. I'll talk fast. I'd say be passionate about what you do. I'm passionate about everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So many people get into business for money. Mm-hmm. Just, I can go make a lot of money if I just do this. Well, I'm not necessarily a product of that. I mean, there have been a lot of years where, you know, we've not made it nearly as much as we needed to,
mm-hmm,
to pay bills and to grow our business. We've been flat at times. But I just say be passionate about what you do. If you're a writer, write a book that's going to better people's lives. It's going to impact their lives in a positive manner, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. That's my personal opinion.
I like that.
And if you're in business to do something, be the absolute best you could possibly be. Don't be mediocre, because mediocre will only get you mediocre results. And you know, there's only so many people that like eating vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm leading a resume writing workshop, I will say to people, if you think you have a good resume, good isn't good enough. Good is mediocre.
Right.
You need to be on top of it. Well, the moment I promised you, people want to be in touch with you. They want to do business with you. How do they do that?
Well, you can certainly reach us on the web at paramountgraphics.com. Now, I will say that website is a work in progress. We have a lot of really cool things that we're rolling out. But you can certainly contact me on my cell phone at 678-499-0800. Of course, my email address is rteam, and that's spelled R-T-E-E-M, at paramountgraphics.com. And we're located in Cumming,
Georgia.
That's right.
Okay, great. You willing to sit by while
Absolutely.
I turn? I'm shifting, but notice I'm staying right on the mic here. And I'm turning and facing a good friend, Jaron Wilkerson. He's been on another Business Radio X show. He actually sat in the studio of this show a couple of weeks ago to see what it's like. Welcome.
Thank you, Tim.
It's good to see you here.
Well, it's great to be here.
So how does one go from being a registered pharmacist to directing a high-performance management consulting group? Whoa, that's impressive.
It is called starting in one way and then realizing that all roads might not lead to where you really, really want to go. and again, there's nothing wrong. Quite frankly, there's a lot of good about being a pharmacist and the pharmacy piece. And I still do that, as you mentioned at
the
top of the
show. Well, yeah, you do that one day a month, is that
correct? I do it one day a month, primarily because one of our customer sets are pharmacists,
mm-hmm,
and we want to be able to relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to be able to relate, we stay in that mix a little bit.
And does that also allow you to be a registered pharmacist by doing that, or don't you have to even do that?
Don't have to do that. I just have to continue the continuing education
part. There's the piece.
That's the piece, right. There's a piece to that. So you do your hours, you pay the fee, and as mm-hmm long as you stay in the mix, you're...
There you go. Well, what is this high-performance management consulting?
What is all that?
Level 10, right?
What is all that? Well, I was listening to Rob, and this was exciting to hear what he was saying, and a lot of this fits with what we do. You ask him, and I was listening, what is it that you're trying to get? And he says, it's great when customers
uh-huh
call and say, I was referred to you because you do what you do, or you do what you said you were going to do. What level 10 is about? And the number 10 represents perfection, or top of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the line. So many people, and so many companies don't do the best they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating, whether it be customer service, whether it's management, and ultimately our focus is on leadership because, again, our view is everything rises and falls on leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Your home, your church, your business, it's all about leadership. If you see outstanding things done in a printing company, it's because there's outstanding leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If you see mediocre things done, it's because it's mediocre leadership. So level 10 is about taking it to the top.
I got to share with you my thought process here. You're saying, you know, 10 is the best, and we'll talk about between 1 and 10, where's your pain level, where's the this, where's the that, and everybody wants to be number one, and in the midst of all of that, I'm going to blush when I say this, but I remembered the movie 10 with Bo Derek, and I said, that's the best. There we go. That's the 10, right?
That's 10. Well, there's a saying that we say that everybody wants to grow,
mm-hmm.
but nobody wants to change.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Everybody wants to grow. I want something different, but nobody wants to change. And our challenge, and I appreciate what Rob said, we don't work with everybody. And one of the statements that was mentioned earlier was about being coachable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't work with people, whether it's in coaching, whether it's in consulting, if you're not coachable. Because what we find is if you're trying to push someone to be something that they really don't see themselves,
mm-hmm.
you will eventually get a train wreck. Because they will eventually find something wrong with something, somewhere. And then in today's environment, I heard Kevin talk about customer service. That's one of the areas we focus on.
Mm-hmm.
In the area, if you upset a customer, it used to be, using the TARP study, one out of every, I guess one person will affect 19 people.
Oh,
but that
God.
Was, but Whoa. That was, but no, that was, that was back in the 60s
uh-huh.
when that study was done. Today, there's Twitter.
There's Twitter.
Okay. There's Facebook. So now that one customer that's upset that will affect 19 others, oh, now
millions.
It's exponential. It's millions. And it happens instantaneously. So now when you have a customer that's not happy, they will Facebook, Twitter, somebody, and tell them, and then now you've got millions of people that now will say, ooh, I guess I don't want to go there because of such and such. So what we try to do is help organizations understand the most important thing you can do. And we've got a mantra that we use, and I'll go on and share it here. It's part of how we operate. It's called making the customer feel important.
Uh-huh.
Make the customer, we call it MMFI, and we say everybody who walks into your business has this on their forehead, MMFI. No matter who they are, it's on their forehead. And that means make me feel important. And we can go into training and say, how do you do this? But unless you're really, really, I heard Rob say that he's faith-based. Well, we'll say this. We say this sometimes. You'll go to heaven on a baby's ticket if you don't quite understand this. The bottom line is, we know how to make somebody feel important. All we know when we're not
mm-hmm.
making someone feel important. Forget about all the training. And we get into all of that about face, nonverbals, the attitude that you express or don't express.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting that we find that a lot of people really just are not other-oriented. And then companies put the wrong people
in the wrong place.
And that's what gets back to leadership and where we try to help leaders understand some of that.
Kevin.
I'm just a question. It's an age-old question. Do you think a leader is made or born? Or does everyone have a leader in them? Or is there a certain level that someone can reach? Because I know there's many different people out there.
Well, Kevin, how long do we have here? Okay. Well, here is the... So as to spark some level of controversy here in this discussion, it can go both ways, and mm-hmm. I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth. It can go both ways. Let's just say it this way. There are some people who are born, they've been given talents and skills that allow them to sometimes exhibit mm-hmm. or demonstrate leadership characteristics a little better than others. It's almost like being an athlete. Some people are just wired to have some of that.
That was my brother.
Yes, some people are wired to have it. They've been blessed to have certain attributes that allow them. However, I also am an adjunct professor, and I teach leadership. I do believe that you can teach traits,
mm-hmm.
but some people will embrace them and make them happen mm-hmm. better than others. And then there are some people who really, even if they have them, it's like athletes, they don't use them. So. Kevin, going back to your question, are they born or can you train them? I think it's a little bit of both, but I do believe that ultimately most of us are wired to do what we do,
mm-hmm.
and it's easier to help someone who already has the attributes.
Sort of like one of those yes to both, and then and go with it.
Yes, with exceptions.
Yeah, exactly. What is it that you ultimately seek then to accomplish in your consulting group? Make everybody a 10?
That is the mission.
Okay.
Quite frankly, the mission is to say, let's take you where you are, because if you noticed, our logo is a pyramid
mm-hmm.
and it's got levels. So the first step is almost like going to your doctor. It's taking out the stethoscope, if mm-hmm. I can say that, and putting it on you and saying, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then where do you really want to be?
Mm-hmm.
What we find is many organizations are not real clear about where they really even want to be. So it makes it very difficult when you don't really know where you are and you don't know where you want to be, then...
It's really hard to get there, isn't it?
It's really kind of hard to get there.
You know, and I relate with you on that because as you and I have talked about writing, I always ask my clients to create a 150-word synopsis when they begin, and they look at me a little weird for many reasons, but that's one of them. And I say, look, if you buy a softback book, it's there, it's on the back cover. Mm-hmm. And I'll be frank and say that the experienced author writes that when he or she's done writing because they know where they've been and what they've said.
Yes.
For my clients, I want them to write it up front so they know where they're going.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, it's so common sense as we sit and listen here, but it's amazing how much emotion is in things when people do things. Something that we do in talks, and I'll keep this very simple, but for those people who've graduated from college, and just use that as an example, there are, and we do this in talks initially just to help show, if you majored in political science or right, whatever it is, most of the time that curriculum is 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ask, well, did you graduate in 4 years? Well, no, maybe five. Maybe like my son, he turned a 4-year program into a 5-year program. Okay, but he still did it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, then you went to, well, we're here in Atlanta, so we can say University of Georgia or Georgia Tech. Well, hundreds or thousands did that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we go outside of the state of Georgia, thousands and so forth. So you can see the pattern is, it's not about whether you got a 4.0 or 2.0. Thousands of people do this year after year after year. Why? Because there's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plan. They know where they're going. Now, if you have a plan, that just shows you that you can do this. But see, what happens to most people after they graduate from college, they don't have a plan anymore. They had a plan in high school. They had a plan in elementary because somebody told them what to do. Once you graduate, there's no longer anybody going to give you a plan. So what happens is people just begin to just kind of go. And businesses are the same. We try to just help leaders understand you got to have a plan. You got to know at least where you're going. It doesn't, you can always change it. Mm-hmm. Just like you can change your major. But it's nothing rocket science about it. And that's why we use graduating from college 4 years, even if it took you 6 years. You still accomplished your mission if you stay in school. Well, you accomplish your business plan if you have one and stay in it.
Well, that speaks to me because I still, one of the fondest memories I have is after having gone, I did 8 years of college and graduate school in an internship in 7, and all of a sudden I'm in my first job and I'm sitting at my desk and my thought is, what do I do now? You know, I've been trained to do that. What do I do now? And it took a while to figure that one out.
Well, I think most of us, and now being an entrepreneur, it is interesting to look at things in retrospect and see that we all have it in us, and that's why I use the college analogy. Those who went to college, it didn't matter. You could have gone to trade school. It didn't matter.
Tech school, trade school, right.
As long as you had a mission and then you work toward that mission, you pretty much get it.
Mm-hmm.
What typically happens, though, is we get off track somewhere along the way, and then we don't know how to get back on, or we weren't even sure we were on that track. See, we're just doing things because somebody else told us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we try to do is help leaders gain a vision and then help their folks work toward that and hold people accountable to that.
And what's very clear in that is you obviously have a plan. You practice what you preach. Isn't that sweet?
That is. We call it alignment.
Alignment, that's right. And you did not pay me to say that, right?
Well, I think you really hit on the key point there. Coming from a younger generation, that's the problem I'm seeing most of my friends having right now is that they are out of school and they have no idea what to do. It's a tough job market. My generation was basically handed everything and over pampered. It's a huge problem, and there needs to be more companies out there to solve it because people have no direction. They have no idea what to do, and they're in an early life crisis.
Well, Kevin, I think that's part of the passion and the reason that we do what we do. Having been on the corporate side for a long, long, long time, probably close to 30 years, and the reason that Level 10 exists and the reason I do the coaching and so forth and the speaking is because there's a purpose and a mission to say, I've been blessed to be able to have others to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Even someone like meeting Tim and helping. Well, we need to do the same, or at least I feel the need to do the same, because I believe basically people are good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that we have so many options now. And Kevin, I won't talk about your generation. I'll just say that those of us who've got a little more gray hair, we had to work at it a little bit more. And sometimes it wasn't even an option. You were just told, this is what you're going to do, and do it with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have so many options. We have so many options, and I think the more options we have, the more it can be confusing,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And especially if you don't have a focus. Because it's hard to be focused now. There's so many things.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to me to be able to do what we do.
Well, you know, I ask everybody, and I didn't exactly ask this directly of Rob, but the whole conversation was around writing. Writing plays a part in your business, doesn't it? Because yes. I'm sitting here holding your book, right, Jaron?
Yes, you are.
So how do you, why did you write it? What do you hope to do with it? And what's next?
What Sales Leaders Do was written, and the publisher fought with me a little bit about this title. And I'm not so sure, maybe Rob can tell me both of you guys are right, maybe you can tell me. What Sales Leaders Do was intended to be a positive
mm-hmm.
approach with focus again, direction,
mm-hmm.
to say these are the attributes, these are the 22 habits that a salesperson does. Now, why did I write that? Well, being in sales, being director of sales, being vice president of sales, I had a chance to see in my office, unfortunately, too many people who were good at one point,
mm-hmm.
but somewhere they fell off the wagon. They lost track. And, of course, because they were working remotely, maybe they were in Phoenix, Arizona, they might have been in Chicago, whatever. And when they came to my office in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
they were not there for a good reason,
and
that was not fun because mm-hmm. I might know them, I might know their husband or the wife, the children, and they were there,
mm-hmm.
and that's when we call them Mr. Marson.
Oh,
and I did not like those times, and I found that basically they had missed doing the basics.
Mm-hmm.
So that book was written to try to help others. And also, since I had a son who thought he wanted to be in sales, I thought, well, let me see if I can't put down some of all these 20-something years of what mm-hmm. I've learned. So that's how it got to be the 22 Habits of an Effective Salesperson. What you do before a call, what do you do during the sales call, what do you do after the call? And it's just basic, simple. It's so basic, as most people say, oh, I could have written that.
But they didn't. And that's the key. That's the key.
And
one of the books that I wrote, I say right in it, if you read this book and think I could have written this, well, then my battle's half won because I want you to do that.
Absolutely. We have I have a session I'm doing with a national organization here next week around the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vice president saw it at the airport, bought it. It's a quick read.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I read it. It's very simple. You didn't tell me all the stories and so forth and so on. You just got right to the heart of the matter. Would you come in and talk to our people about this? And we want this book to be required reading, but we won't give it to them until after you talk.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, glad to do that. So you were talking about the number of books that are sold. Well, let's just say we are hitting half of that number that you mentioned just with this group.
Isn't that sweet? You're almost there.
Yeah. I just think that's awesome. There's so many people out there that have either an idea or a book idea, and they just never do it. And that's half the battle, I think, really, is just getting out there, getting your ideas on paper. And like I like to always say on a lot of our shows, everyone has a million great ideas, but hardly anyone ever acts on them. So.
Well, I think Rob said it earlier. Part of what he likes about his business is having a passion to try to move things forward. What sales leaders do, what we do in level 10, it's about having a passion to help move things forward. That's the outcome. It is seeing results. And what we find is a lot of people talk. That's why I use the phrase, a lot of people want change. But I mean, a lot of people want things to be better, but mm-hmm. I don't want to change.
Yeah.
Well, what does Einstein say about that? You know, you keep on doing the same thing and expect a different result. That's called insanity.
That's exactly right.
I don't like to go, nobody's insane, but let's just say you can't keep doing the same thing and expect something different.
Well, how do people get in contact with you, Jared?
Thank you for asking. Well, I'll give two simple ways. A phone number, 770-329-5757. 770-329-5757 or level10consulting.net. Level10consulting.net. And that's 10-10.
10.
Yeah.
You know, being from the Pittsburgh area growing up, when I hear 5757, I think of Heinz. 57 varieties.
Well,
we've just imprinted that number, haven't
well,
we?
Well, you know what, Tim? If it works, you know, Heinz.
It works.
329-5757.
Yeah. Well, I'm opening up the mics. You guys want to? Rob, he's been doing a great job of quoting you.
That is absolutely one of the most amazing things that ever happened to me. But now I tell you, I've really enjoyed being here. It's refreshing to sit with you guys that really understand and, no pun intended, preach. Or practice what you preach, or help mm-hmm. teach and minister to people in business. But I coined a phrase a few years ago that we live in a wonderful, wonderful land of freedom,
mm-hmm.
and that gives us the ability to do anything we ever wanted to do. But remember, free enterprise is not an episode on Star Trek. but not just in my customers that I deal with on a daily basis, but everybody that's in business that we deal with, it's all very, very important, in my opinion, to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And having been a sales guy for my entire life, not just my professional life, but my mm-hmm. entire life, I've learned. I've been able to sit with the best. I mean, Zig Ziglar, and I'm a very big fan of Mr. John Maxwell.
Yes.
But wow, it's just been very, very refreshing being here, and sitting with guys like you that are absolutely at the top of your game, and that's just what we would like to be ourselves, just to be better.
I didn't mention John Maxwell, but part of our coaching business is associated with John Maxwell,
mm-hmm.
and that again is leadership, personal development. So it all kind of aligns with where we're trying to go, just to help individuals be a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit better. And if we can do that, it sounds so, philosophical, philanthropic, but it is trying to help the world just be just a little bit better.
You know, I think one thing, too, that people need to understand, especially writers, because they get really passionate about something.
Oh, they do.
Is when you lay out your plan, I had the fortunate I was very fortunate in the late 80s, early 90s to work in NASCAR. One of my customers was Kellogg's in Battle Creek, Michigan, and we had a hand in helping them enter into the NASCAR sport. Mm-hmm. And the movie that came out in the late 80s with a guy by the name of Harry Hyde
mm-hmm.
Was about racing.
Yes.
I actually hired him to work for us. And I told him, when I asked him one day, I said, Harry, I mean, you're one of the most amazing figures in the sport and been a part of successful teams over the years. What can make us win races? He said, Robbie, let me tell you something. Speed costs money. How fast you want to go? Well, I say speed costs money. How fast do you want to grow? But understanding up front, you got to have a budget. You know, you got to you got to find out how much you're going to have to spend. I'm the last person you need to think about in terms of, you know, I can get it for $2.16 over there, and you're charging me $4. Why is that? Well, there's the economies of scale. I'm in business to stay in business. We pay our bills. We happen to own all of our equipment, but that's neither here nor there. But speed costs money. How fast you want to grow, and be honest with yourself. And that's just
I like that. I like that. So, you have written a book.
Yes.
What do you take from what Rob is saying as he has talked about cover design, the layout? Give an amen to what he's talking about,
well,
please.
I'm definitely going to give an amen to. So, amen, amen. Thank you. A question, though, Rob, that I have is if a book has been written, such as I've written one and we'll do more, can a writer take the book from where it is now and bring it to your shop?
That's an excellent question. Had a lot of customers in the past that have done business with what we call vanity presses, and I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to disparage, but I'll just tell you what they do.
I understand.
Number one, they'll require you to put their logo on the back of your book, number one, if you're going to print it with them and publish it with them. Secondly, it's going to cost you a 20% premium, by the way, to take that logo off.
Okay.
And if you ever, once you've sent them a high-res print-ready, trouble-free file for your cover and your text, and they've imported it into their system and done you a proof. By the way, not many of them will print you a pre-production proof, which we do, to make sure that it looks to your satisfaction. But when you say, I want to take my business elsewhere, they'll send you what's called a low-res file. So it's important up front to say to that vendor, if I decide one day that we're not meant for one another, this dating that we're doing is never going to turn into an engagement or marriage, if I leave you, I want to be able to get my files back from you. Well, they'll say, no.
Of course.
But what you need to do is whenever you do all of your corrections, don't let them do it. Now, with us, if we make corrections, we charge you a small fee because we have to pay people to do that. Mm-hmm. But if ever you want to go somewhere else, I'm never going to hold you hostage. I'm going to send your files back to you and say, Jaron, I'm sorry I couldn't serve you and earn your business going forward, or maybe you're too big for us now, and I'm going to have to send you to somewhere else. I'm gleefully do that. But just be careful. You know, when you're, you know, let's be honest and upfront. Whenever you have any problem, talk about truth or money, and the first thing being truth. But, again, if you want to go somewhere else, just make sure you hold your files yourself.
That is probably – that's a big question.
Yeah.
And it was – as I sit and listen to what you're saying, truly love the customer service. Truly love the way you're trying to make things happen. As a writer currently and – well, I don't know, here in front of Dr. Tim, I don't know if I want to call myself a writer. Let's just say I play at it a little bit.
Oh, but it's fun play, isn't it?
But it is fun play. But with that being said, the thought was, well, I like the print-on-demand, as I call it. Mm-hmm. That might not be what you guys call it. Mm-hmm. But being able to – do 300 or be able to do 50 or whatever. So the challenge might be we'll have to look at some options.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, you know what happens every week in this studio? The clock creeps up on us.
It never seems to stop for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you, this is 2 weeks in a row that I've gone longer than I've ever gone before, and it's either I'm getting a lot more relaxed here or my guests are getting a whole lot really, really good, but the clock is on us, and we welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know, and just send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Kevin, for co-hosting, keeping me on track, and asking questions that I'd never think of asking.
Pleasure as always.
Great. And thank you to our guest, Rob Teams of Paramount Graphics and Jaron Wilkerson of Level 10 Healthcare Group. Rob, your contact information one more time.
Again, it's rteam, that's T-E-E-M, at paramountgraphics.com. Number is 678-499-0800.
And Jaron, your contact information.
Contact information, 770-329-5757. are Jerrund, J-E-R-R-U-N-D, at level10consulting.net.
Okay. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services and how we help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at www.rightchoiceservices.com. Please join us next week and tell your friends about the show. I always encourage you to send them an email and invite them to listen live or to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 Eastern Time at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. The MP3 version will be available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.